Democracy is an experiment, and the right of the majority to rule is no more inherent than the right of the minority to rule. And unless the majority represents sane, righteous, unselfish public sentiment, it has no inherent right. And this week's opening quote comes from William Allen White. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. The right to rule. It's an interesting concept, really, isn't it, when you think about it? Who has the right to rule, and why do they have the right to rule? Do you believe someone has the right to rule over you? And, of course, one of the most dramatic examples of people believing they have a right to rule is the kingly line. People who believe that their DNA is better and more worthy than any other DNA, and so they claim the right to rule by blood. And what is it? What makes people believe they have this right? But more importantly, what is it about human beings that causes them to choose to give their power away and to view other people as having the right to rule them? Where does it come from? Why do we accept the rule of others? Why do we feel the need to be ruled by others? Why do we allow it to happen? What is it about the human psyche that causes us to do these things? It's an interesting question. You know, we all want to be free. We all want to be free to live our lives in any way that we can and do the things we want to do. But at the same time, we like to know that there are rules that keep us in line. We like to know that there is a guiding hand. We like to know that in times of difficulty, there is someone or something that we can turn to. And it's an interesting thing. It's like an adolescent or childish mentality that we seem to have. It's like we grow up into adults, but we never really become adults. We always run around as children. And we know that our parents are looming somewhere overhead, keeping an eye on us, and we sneak around and do things behind our parents' back. And this is the way we view government. We view them as the parents that we have when we leave our parents. And that's really what it is. It's new parents that we garner as soon as we leave our biological parents. We have these new parents, and this is the government. And we have the same type of relationship with government as what we did with our parents. If you think about it, you'll see that it is in there in your mind. There's this parent figure above you. There's always this guiding hand, this big brother that's there, that you know is there, and you know you have to answer to it. It may come and scold you. It may come and make demands of you, and you don't have a choice. You have to comply. And really, that's the mentality that we have, the concept that we don't have a choice and we have to comply with what these people say. So where does it come from? Where does this authority come from? Why are we ruled in that way? Even though we are given modicums of freedom so that we feel like we are free, we're not really free at all, because we always have to come back to these rules and answer to these authority figures above. So in fact, we're not free. We are free range. And the interesting thing about this is that we know this. We know we are simply free-range debt slaves. We know it in the back of our minds. Even those people who don't profess to know it inside, I believe that they do know this. At the back of their minds, it's just a case of willful blindness. And many of them even know that they're in a state of willful blindness, but they have willful blindness about being in that state. And the really interesting part about it is that people like this control to be there. People like to know that there is a hidden hand that will slap them on the wrist if they step outside of the lines. People like to know that they have parents that are going to look after them. And unfortunately, what perpetuates this more than anything else is pure laziness on behalf of the population, pure laziness on behalf of the individual. Most people are simply too lazy to take responsibility for themselves. And because we've been so lazy for so long and we've allowed this system to grow the way it has, what we've got now is a situation where once people do lose their laziness and they do choose to speak out, then they are very much in fear of doing so, simply because of the wrath that will be meted out to them by the powers that believe they be, and most especially by the police force and the legal system. And it's been interesting to watch this shift in consciousness regarding the police force and the legal system in our society, because back in the old days, most people used to view the police as welcome strangers, as people that were there to offer you protection. But now there are normal, everyday, middle-class people who, when they see the police, when they see a police car, they feel like it's a shark in the swimming pool. They see the police as being kind of lurking over in the corner, waiting to see whom they can harass. People don't expect respect or compassion or help or consideration from police officers anymore. And the same goes for the legal system. People don't expect justice from the legal system anymore. What they expect is to pay a lot of money and to have the judge always favour the corporation or the government, because that's what the judges are now doing. That's what the legal system is now doing. The police and legal system are being used as mechanisms not to protect the rights of the people, but rather to inflict the government's will upon the people. And that's a very unfortunate reality that has been created in the world today, and people are beginning to wake up to it. Normal, everyday, average people are now looking at the world this way, and looking at the police in this way, looking at the legal system this way. And they're becoming quite fearful of the system. And this is preventing a lot of people from speaking out as well. A lot of people that are awake don't speak out about the system. They don't question authority in the right way because they are in fear of the attitude that they'll be greeted with. Because you attempt to bring this information to someone, you attempt to approach a police officer or anybody and deliver a complaint of this kind, question anything like coal seam gas mining, question what the Attorney General of Queensland has done with the new anti-bikie legislation, and you are greeted with hostility at the police desk straight away. So you're not able to go and report any abuse of power to the police force, because they simply won't allow you to file the report. And if they do, they won't give the report the attention it requires, and they will attempt to use it against you in whatever manner that they are able to do so. And that's the unfortunate reality. So the question becomes, what do we do in order to address this situation? Well, as I've so often said, it's very difficult to go down the path to legal remedy, because there are very few legal remedies that exist, simply because the people who are the problem whom we wish to use the legal system against are the very people who wrote the rules down. And so the system isn't constructed in that way. And even if there is a remedy for the situation within the legal system, you get tied up in red tape for so long, and court cases are dragged out over so many years, that by the time you get any satisfaction at all, it's simply a compromise, and it's usually years after the event, and the environmental damage has long been done, or the people you were attempting to protect have often died in the time it's taken for the court case to come around. So there's never any remedy to be found from that direction. And this should be apparent to everybody simply by looking at the legal system and looking at the track record of what it's done to society and what people have gone through when they've attempted to stand up against the government or against the corporate rape of this planet using the legal system, standing within those parameters. It just never works, folks. So there's got to be another way. And as I've said a million times on the show, the best way, the simplest way, and the most powerful way is in the power of community. Because we have the strength of numbers to achieve anything we want. And if the people of the nation decide that they would like change and they would like the government to carry out a certain task for them, if we would like the government to stop dredging the Great Barrier Reef, we could simply write a people's mandate and instruct them to do so. But the only way we can do it is with the power of community. That's why I've worked so hard. I've spoken so many times about the need for people to put down their stuff with each other and stand as a united community. Because once we have that unity in our community, put common unity back in community, once we've got that, then we have the power to achieve anything we want to achieve. You know, simply through the strength of numbers and the strength and the power of a united and respectful community, we can command the government to carry out any action we want the government to carry out, because these people are public servants. They're our employees. But we can't get them to do anything because we don't ever stand up as one voice. It's like the action I've been attempting to carry out against Jared Blake. As many people have seen the action, many people have seen the video, many people have given me positive comments, but I don't see anybody in the state standing up with me. I don't see anybody wanting to get behind this as a state movement to carry out this action, to hold Jared Blay in breach of trust, and to have the Queensland government dismissed for breach of trust and abuse of power. Because I can't stand up for the state of Queensland. I can stand up and speak for the state of Queensland if the majority of the state of Queensland chooses to stand up with me. But that's the only way I can do it, because I can't call breach of trust on the government and take this type of action against the government from a perspective of trust without the support of the community. Because the only other way I can do it would be something as ineffective as attempting to press charges against him in a system-run court and stand up against him as one individual. And as one individual, I can't speak for the state, nor would I wish to speak for the state. I have no authority over the state. I have no authority over Jared Blay. Because Jared Blay is sui generis, and all the people of the state are sui generis, just as I am sui generis. Nobody has any authority over anybody else. And because I am sui generis and I respect that in myself and I respect it in others, I can't speak for the people of the state. All I can do is encourage the people of the state to look at things realistically and to stand up and speak for themselves, or at least stand behind someone that they appoint to speak for them. I mean, sure, I'm going to be speaking to some people that have some legal knowledge and may be able to give me some further advice on how to pursue this matter. But again, I'm not able to do it if the people of Queensland don't want this done, because I can't speak for anybody else. I can only speak for myself as one sui generis living entity. But I can't speak for you. I can't speak for anybody. All I can do is point out the fact that we're in a very dangerous situation, and it's created a need for people to speak out, and I can lead by example in speaking out the way I did. But if other people don't do the same, then unfortunately there's very little that can be done other than pursue legal avenues, which will take far too long, will be far too ineffective, and are specifically designed to be that way. There is no remedy to be found in the legal system, and we should all know that to be true by now, simply by looking at the track record of the legal system and the amount of environmental damage that it has left in its wake. And not just environmental damage, but human damage, damage of all types and all descriptions. But the thing is, folks, that even if I pursue the matter against Jared Blay from a legal perspective, well, okay, I can do it, and I can probably draw some attention to the fact. But it'll just be this ongoing thing that gets tied up in red tape for years and years, and we could circumvent all of that if we had a community that respected itself enough and respected each other enough to simply stand as one united voice, because if we did that, we could address the matter in one day. But the thing is, with all the people that are speaking out about this situation that we're in, and with all the people that are bringing all of this negative information to you, and all the people that are pointing out all of the problems that we have, all the people that are in fear of the police state that's coming and pointing it out to you and showing you the mechanism that's being built, there are very few people that seem to be attempting to find solutions to this situation. And those solutions that people seem to offer always seem to involve impeaching the president or subpoenaing this person or subpoenaing someone else or perhaps forming new political parties and voting people in and voting people out, or perhaps locating the guilty party within government and then attempting legal action against them. Although there's very few people that are even suggesting that. I mean, there's many people that are just speaking out against the system and pointing their finger and screaming out, boogeyman, and they're not actually doing anything about it. They're not doing anything to address the situation at all. I mean, sure, they might be speaking out about it and waking people up to the fact that the system is here and that we do have a problem, and that's a good thing. But I believe that people need to be looking at things in a more practical manner as well, and many people aren't doing that. They're looking at the etheric system and they're pointing out that this etheric system is there. But then they're not transferring it into the physical, not properly anyway, and they're not offering any pathway to remedy at all. And of course, many people will believe that the pathway to remedy is a legal pathway. But people aren't even addressing that, and they're not even suggesting legal avenues. And as I've said, folks, I don't think there are any legal avenues. I just don't think they exist. I don't think the system is designed that way. I don't think it's designed to ever give us any legal remedy. I think it's been very meticulously constructed with that very purpose in mind, to protect itself and to never afford us any mechanism by which to free ourselves. I mean, really, the best thing you can hope to achieve by going down a legal pathway is public awareness. Hopefully, by going down a legal pathway, you will bring public attention to a certain issue. This is, of course, if you can get the media to cover the story, because if it is something that really does have some clout and may actually damage the government, you can bet your bottom dollar that the media will not report on the event at all. Because the modern media simply doesn't report the news anymore, and they never look at things objectively. The modern media unfortunately functions as the propaganda and public relations arm of the government. That is its sole purpose in the modern world. So don't expect any truth from those guys. But really, public attention is the best we can hope for from attempting to go down a legal pathway, which is a good thing in many ways, but don't expect too much of a legal result from it, because, as I said, the path to remedy simply does not exist within the legal system. It's been specifically designed that way. I mean, just try complaining about a politician. Try going to your police and saying you want to complain about a politician, about their actions. They'll laugh at you and tell you to vote him out and vote the next person in. But what do? You're voting in a new face to the same coin. You're not addressing the corruption of the system itself, and that's the problem, that the system itself is inherently corrupt. It's designed to milk the wealth of the people, and that has always been its purpose. So there's no point voting someone into that system. There's no point forming a political party and entering into that system, because no matter who you are, once you enter into that system and start playing by its rules, you are instantly corrupted simply via the corrupt nature of the system, because you are forced to operate within corrupt parameters. So what can you do? It doesn't matter if you're a person of integrity and wish to do the right thing. If you're going to go in and swim in that sludge, then what you're going to be using is the paddle that they give you. And that's it, because you make agreements. You become a politician, you make agreements, you sign agreements, you enter into that legal system, and you agree to abide by its rules. So you can't go in there and rock the boat, because the system will not allow you to, not from within its parameters. And that's why, in order to address that etheric system, the people have to understand that it's etheric, and they have to realize that the power to address it comes back to the people themselves. And that's been the message of this show right since its inception back in 2008. See, even with the demand to show cause that I released and aimed at Jared Blay, I addressed the whole situation from a perspective of trust, in the hope that other people would stand up and want to do the same thing, to realize that we don't actually have to play by the rules of the system. We don't have to play by its parameters. We can call them out and say, hey, you've done the wrong thing. It's as simple as that. And if the people of the state choose to stand up and do something about it, we can do something about it. We don't even need the parameters of the system. But even when you're doing this, you've got to present it to people in the manner that I did, because most people believe the legal system's real. So you've got to present it to people in a way that they understand. But even having done that, the lack of response I got from the state, I mean, what can you hope to do to help these people if the people won't help themselves? That's the question. You know, a lot of people are so locked into the system, and they're so locked into fear, and they're so disorganized within their own brains and within their own minds that they really believe they can't do anything, and they really believe that even if there is a problem, just because this person's speaking out, they're going to fix the problem, that they don't have to participate themselves. But really, it's all about participation. That's what we've got to do, folks. We've all got to participate. We can change the world any time we want to do it, ladies and gentlemen. All we have to do is get involved. And that's what I hope to start this year when I launch the Full Circle Project. You've heard me talk about the Full Circle Project quite a bit lately, I'm sure, if you're a regular listener. And it will be coming later in the year, folks. I'm just extremely busy at the moment. I've got 3 speaking seminars coming up at the end of February through March for Truthology. These are the Freedom Summits. You'll find a link to them on my website. And please do be aware that the proceeds from the Freedom Summits are being used to save girls from the sex slave industry in Cambodia. And so that is a very worthwhile thing to support. So if you're in Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane, I urge you to come along to these talks. There'll be a wealth of information there for you. And so yes, that's been taking up a bit of time and energy lately. Plus, producing these shows does take up quite a bit of time each week. But I am still sorting through footage from the recent trip to Peru for the upcoming film in my spare time, and I hope to bring that to you as early as possible. But I'm simply not going to be able to put the work I would like to into the film until early March when I finish the upcoming seminars. So it's just a matter of juggling things and seeing which ones need to be on the front burner and which ones need to be on the back burner, folks. But I'm working on it, and the film will be released and the Full Circle Project officially launched as early as I am able to achieve it. It's not easy sometimes, folks, doing 5 or 6 things at once. And it's not easy remaining calm in the face of the storm that appears to be rapidly approaching on the horizon. I know I have managed to remain calm for the last 6 or 7 years on the radio show, but we really are facing a situation now where people do need to pay attention. They do need to start getting involved in their local community. This is why I've been so full-on on the shows lately. You might have noticed that since I came back from Peru, the shows have kind of taken on a bit of a new hue, because when I was in Peru, the damage that I saw while I was over there and the messages that I got, the downloads that I got and the messages that I received from Spirit conveyed to me a real sense of urgency for people to get involved and people to really start participating in reality. And the sense of urgency that I felt was very compounded for me, actually, when I arrived back in Australia after being in Peru. Because when you're in Peru, you just have a feeling of freedom. It just feels different. The energy just feels different. And as soon as I stepped onto the tarmac in Australia, I could feel the energy. And just being back in Australia and seeing the amount of police everywhere and seeing the amount of control everywhere, it was really quite a shock to see it, to just realize how controlled this society actually is. And it's all beneath the surface. It's all right there, but the people just can't see it. And this feeling also instilled a sense of urgency into me, and that is why the shows have taken on a different feel to what they may have had before I went away. As I mentioned, I think, last week, sometimes I get concerned that I come onto the shows and I speak too calmly and I calm people down too much, because I wish to provide information to people in a calm and empowering way, but I don't wish to lull them into a state of inaction. That is most certainly not the purpose of these shows. I simply maintain a calm demeanor because I figure that if I manage to just nail it in a nutshell one day and release a show, the show that you can take to someone who is asleep and it will wake them up, then it's going to be best if the person speaking on this program is speaking in a calm and eloquent way. And so that's why I've attempted to do this on every show, just in the hope that that show may be the one that you can go and play to your neighbours. And I'm sure the last thing your neighbours want to hear is someone screaming fear at them. And that's why I have presented the shows in such a calm way and why I've always used very simplistic terms. I try to avoid obfuscation. I try to avoid using big words. I try to avoid over-intellectualizing anything because I think it's counterproductive. I think that people need to have things spelled out for them in as simple a manner as possible because people don't want to have to think about things. They don't want to have to go grab a dictionary to understand what you're saying. They just want to be told in pure black and white, simple terms, what the problem is and why they need to pay attention to it. And that's what I've attempted to do on the shows. That's why I've always maintained a calm demeanour. But I hope it's not too calm, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't wish to calm people down into inaction. I think now more than ever, it's very, very important that people get involved. And it's in the spirit of getting involved that I did something like send the letter that I sent to Jared Blay and make the video that I made asking him to show cause. I actually did get a letter back from Jared Blay as well, folks, which was kind of interesting. He didn't address any of the issues that I'd raised, of course. And he said that he was writing back to me because he was interested in addressing the concerns that I had at the government's plan to combat organised crime. Which, of course, was not my concerns at all. What my concerns are the loss of rights that have occurred in Queensland as a result of this corrupt legislation. But what he said in his letter was that he makes no apologies for the legislation, and he openly said in the letter, and I quote, "A person charged under the new laws has the opportunity to prove that the organisation to which they are connected is not an organisation that engages in criminal activity, and any person who can prove this has a complete defence to the criminal offences created or aggravated by this legislation." So with that statement, not only has he confirmed what I've been telling you all along, that the crime is created by government, by saying that the offences have been created by the legislation, but what the letter also says is, yes, Max, it's a case of guilty until proven innocent. But if you can prove you're innocent, then you will be free to go. And think about this, folks. I mean, how do you prove that you haven't done something? You can't. You can't prove you haven't done something. That's why the onus is always on the accuser to prove that someone has done something. This is like asking Saddam Hussein to prove that he hasn't got a nuclear weapons program. If it doesn't exist, how can you prove that it isn't there? It simply isn't there. That's the danger of this legislation, folks. How do you prove you haven't done something? It's impossible. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting, folks, and this is the type of legislation that this sociopathic little cretin is imposing upon the people of Queensland. Guilty until proven innocent. If you are associated with any type of gang or organisation that has been convicted of any crime, whether you know that it's been convicted of a crime or not, well, I would like to point out to the people of Queensland that two police officers in the town of Mackay have recently been charged with rape and deprivation of liberty. So I would now point out that these two people have committed a crime and they belong to a known organisation, i.e. the Queensland Police Force. Two members of that police force have now been convicted of a crime, so therefore under this Vlad legislation enacted by Jared Blay, the Queensland Police is now a criminal organisation and should be disbanded, and any members of the Queensland Police that are caught wearing their gang uniform or in groups of two or over should be subject to immediate arrest. And once arrested, they need to prove that their organisation has not been engaged in criminal activity. And that's the fact of the matter, because if this law is across the board and applies to every member of this state, then it should also apply to the police and members of the government. So let's see if this matter is ever addressed. So yes, back to the concept of rulership. Who rules you? Why do you allow people to rule you? Who owns you? What is ownership? Why would you allow someone else to own you? Why would you allow yourself to be a slave? Why would you allow yourself to be ruled? And even in acknowledging this slavery system and in acknowledging that our governments have quite literally elevated themselves to the position of rulers, in attempting to emancipate yourself from this system, why would you be looking to someone else to do this for you? Why would you be looking for a leader or a ruler to rule the way out of this situation. Because again, it comes down to our propensity to give our power away to others. Even when we find ourselves locked within a slavery system, we find ourselves and our lives controlled by other people. In order to extricate ourselves from this system, we look to others. We go down the Freeman rabbit hole. We look for the right piece of paper to send off to somebody, the right form to fill out. We join a movement. We look for the right leader to lead us back to safety. What is it that causes us to do this? Why don't we take responsibility for ourselves and attempt to find our own way out of the mess? And the reason we don't is because we simply are unable to find ourselves within the mess. And that's a real problem, because the truth of the matter is that the only path back to freedom lies with yourself. And this is true for every individual out there. There's nobody who can lead you back to freedom. You can only lead yourself to freedom. And the way to lead yourself to freedom is to realize that you are already free and that the system you believe enslaves you is actually a fiction. It's just an idea. It only exists on paper. It's just a meme. That's all it is. The system only exists in the ether. And so that's where the remedy to addressing the system lies. It lies in the ether. It lies in you changing your perspective of who and what you are, and of what the system is, and of what your relationship to the world and the people around you is. That's where freedom lies. And that may sound very simplistic to some people, and they just may not be able to see how it works. But it does. The problem is that they're attempting to address this etheric system by physical means, by sending paper in, by filling out forms, by doing all of the stuff and sticking within the parameters that have been created by the fiction itself. And they're working within a fictional world, when what they've got to do is address the system from its root source, which is in the ether. And that can only be done by changing your perspective and looking at things from a different angle. Many people have said if you change the inner world, you can change the outer world. And this is how it works, folks. Because once you change the inner world, you can change the way you interact with the outer world. But it isn't by sending paper around. It's by treating the people that you interact with differently. By treating everybody, including yourself, as a unique, sui generis expression of creation. Each one as valid as the other, and each one under its own jurisdiction. And I know that sounds far-fetched to people, but it's true, folks. It works. You can change the world by simply changing the energetic state that you're in. The thing is that everybody has to do it. Well, at least a large percentage of people have to do it. Not everybody. Really, just the 8% who are awake, the 8% of humankind who simply can't be programmed. Those who know that the system is fiction simply have to change the way they interact with it. Because by doing so, they can lead by example in what they do, and they can set a standard for the rest of the community to look to. And they can help guide those people who want to be free but don't know how to do it back to the path of self-discovery. Because that's where freedom is. It lies in true discovery of yourself. That's the thing, you know, like, nobody's going to come along and save you. Nobody's going to come and save the day. Even the legal action that I wish to take against Jared Blair and the Queensland government, like I said before, the best I can hope to do with it is garner public attention to this incredibly important issue. But ultimately, the issue will never be addressed properly unless it's addressed from a perspective of trust. And that will only happen once each individual is empowered into knowing who and what they are and standing in that power. And that's what this is. I mean, this is a great opportunity for the people of Queensland to realize that, hey, hang on a minute, we've just got these guys in suits that write all this stuff down on pieces of paper, and they believe that because they're doing it, we have to go along with it. But we're better than that. We're worth more than that. We have more power than that. And these people are actually our employees. I mean, this is a great opportunity for the entire state of Queensland to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. We're calling you out. And if the state of Queensland doesn't do this, then we're going to be in for a very difficult time ahead. And the rest of Australia needs to pay attention as well, because this legislation will go out to other states. They're pushing it now. There's propaganda pieces, even in hippie newspapers over the border. In northern New South Wales, there's local magazines that promote a hippie culture and a flower power kind of a mentality. But they're promoting the concept that there are these terrible biker crimes now happening in New South Wales, which is completely and utterly ridiculous. And what it's all about is pushing this legislation through in every state that they can. And it's a trial model, folks. They're trialing it here to see how it works and how easily they can get the people to accept it. And then you'll start seeing it introduced overseas as well. If they can create a working model here, then they'll use it as a testing ground for this legislation in other areas. And it's imperative that the people of Queensland pay attention to this, and it's imperative that the rest of Australia get involved as well. I mean, this really is crunch time, folks. We're at the tipping point right now, and people absolutely have to get involved. And look, I've been saying this on the air for nearly seven years now, that people need to get involved. People need to start breaking down the barriers in their community. And now's the time you have to do this, folks. Hopefully a lot of people who've listened to this show over the years have already got gardens in place, have already got some sort of rapport with their neighbours and some sort of rapport with the community around them and strong support groups around them, because you're going to need them coming into the times ahead. And it's imperative that people start addressing this situation head on, especially here in Australia. It really is a crucial time for this country. As I've said on a few of the previous shows, Australia has been earmarked for some massive mining operations that are due to start in the very near future. And people really have to start paying attention to this. We're losing all of our food bowl, and most of Australia's food is already imported from overseas. Unfortunately, many Australians eat frozen food, which all comes from overseas. Ironically, most of our best food is exported to China, where it is served on tables over there. And that's quite ironic when you consider that our food bowl is about to be destroyed by Chinese mining companies who are about to turn the entire Darling Downs into a coal mine. So one may question where they are going to be getting their food from in the future. But that's just a little side note anyway. But the thing is, the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that even in attempting to extricate ourselves from the system, we look for rulers, we look for leaders as a means of doing this. We don't ever look to ourselves. We don't ever look to the power that we've got. And really, when you find the power that you've got, when you discover the truth about yourself, it's like you've been asleep for your whole life. It's like you suddenly wake up to a new day where the sun is shining. You lift your arms and you brush away the cobwebs and the clouds, and you clear away the fog from your eyes, and suddenly you can see reality clearly. Many people wake up to the world, they go outside, they look outside, they see the city, they see the world that we've created, and they often almost go into shock, because once you do become awake to your true power, it becomes so obvious and so clear as to what the remedy is and how easy it would be for us to extricate ourselves from this system if people simply change their perspective. And I've been saying this for 7 years, folks. We could do it in one day. If people were simply to wake up to themselves, we could change the world in a single day. And people see this and they simply can't believe that they never saw it before, because it's so obvious and it's always been there right in front of their faces. And so they do. They just go into shock. They go into shock. They go into despair. They go into fear, and they lock themselves away and go, oh my God, what are we going to do? And that's very often the first reaction. But when you have that moment of clarity, when you step into the sunshine, it becomes mind-boggling how simple the solution to the problem actually is. Because all you actually have to do is change your perspective and change the way you interact with the world. And it's getting to the stage now where we need to do this. And those people who are awake, those people of the 8%, you need to get involved. You need to start leading by example, because that's the only way we're going to make a difference. Even with what I've done with the action that I've taken against Jared Blay, It's created a stir in many circles. I've got an amazing lack of response from the state in general, but hey, that's to be expected. It's disappointing, but it's to be expected because the state is fluoridated and they don't understand, and they get their information from the newspapers and from the television, and so they don't think that it's a problem. They can't possibly imagine that their government may not have their best interests at heart. That's the way they've been trained to think, and that's the way they think. And so you can't blame them for it, you can't judge them for it. All you can do is lead by example in what you do and hopefully show them that there's a better way. But people are never going to discover what that way is unless you get involved and you start demonstrating it to them. And now's the time for you to do that because, like I said, this is crunch time. We are right at the tipping point now, ladies and gentlemen. And if the people of the world don't pay attention and don't stand up and get involved, and if those people in the alternative research community out there who've been saying all of this stuff to people for so long and pointing out their way through the legal system and bringing these so-called messages of empowerment to people, if these people don't start standing up and leading by example in what they do and not just talking about it anymore, but actually going head on with this system, then they're just compounding the problem. Because if you're just presenting information to people, but you're not presenting the path to solution and leading by example yourself in implementing that solution, then really it's just words, isn't it? And we have had enough words, I think, ladies and gentlemen. We've had words and words and more words. We've had lecture after lecture. We've got so much information now that we know what the problem is. It's just that there's so many rabbit holes that you can go down before you can decide who you want to point your finger at. But really there's a higher harmonic, folks, because you shouldn't be pointing your finger at anyone except yourself, because it is in the failure of the individual to step into their own personal power that provides the mechanism by which the problem is perpetuated. And that's what needs to be addressed. So again, it comes down to the individual changing their perspective. And once they do that, and then they apply that perspective to the world in which they live, it's in that moment that the world changes. And like I said, if we all changed our perspective in this manner, then we could change the world in a single day. And what is stopping us is our propensity to give our power away, our need to be ruled, our desire to be ruled, the safety blanket that it provides, the comfort of knowing that there's someone there to pick us up when we fall. It's okay if they create a few rules. We'll go by their rules as long as they're there to pick us up when we fall. And we have to snap out of this mindset, ladies and gentlemen, because it's this need for a nanny, this need for parents, which has created this reality that we are trapped in and is creating the far more totalitarian reality that we are on the verge of stepping into. This is indeed the tipping point, ladies and gentlemen, and now more than ever, people need to get involved. But they need to get involved in the right way, with the right attitude, from the right perspective, and deal with things realistically. Not from a perspective of fiction, not from a perspective of anger, simply from a perspective of respect. And from the perspective of knowing that each person that exists within this reality is a unique sui generis expression of creation, and each one needs to be treated as such. And folks, I've always kept the message positive on these shows right since the beginning, even when I've been speaking about stuff that is quite dark. I've always attempted to keep the message positive. Because I believe that no matter how dark it gets, we still have a way out of this. We really do. But we just have to be willing to get involved ourselves. And that's what this time is, ladies and gentlemen. Everything up to this point has been a rehearsal for this moment. Because here in 2014, we are indeed at the tipping point. And you can just see it all around the planet. Everything that I've been talking about here in Australia, there's similar things happening in other countries. Everybody that I speak to, it doesn't matter what country they come from, they're all in the same position. I was speaking to someone from Canada the other day, and she was telling me it's just as bad in Canada.
She was saying the people of Canada have no real idea why Stephen Harper is still Prime Minister of Canada when the entire country appears to hate him and no one appears to have voted for him. And so it's rampant across the globe. And everything that we've learned, all the conspiracy rabbit holes that we've been down, all of the empowerment and self-help videos that people have watched, all of these self-help books that they've read, all of the lectures that they've attended, all of the light worker activity that people have been involved in, it's all been a rehearsal that's been leading to this very moment. Because now the moment has come when the people of Earth need to stand up and stand in their power. It's really coming down to the wire, folks. And those people who are standing up and those people who have been speaking out need the rest of the world to stand with them. People who've been leading by example in what they do and speaking out about the system and like doing it publicly making statements about it and really pushing the envelope with the powers that be and questioning their authority. These people need you to be standing with them. They need to know that the community is there behind them. And the entire community really does need to begin doing this. The entire community needs to begin questioning authority. It's got to be done this year, ladies and gentlemen. You can't keep taking backward steps to these people and allowing them to walk over you. You've got to stand your ground sometime, and that time is now. Now, like I said a few shows back, we now have so much ammunition with which to awaken people. I mean, there is so much evidence of government corruption. There is so much evidence of the slavery system that is now in full view that the fuel that we now have with which to light the fire in people's hearts is phenomenal. It really is. We've got so much information there now, folks, with which to demonstrate the control mechanism to people and so much stuff we can show them to demonstrate how their rights are being removed, how it's happening on a global scale, and what the path to remedy is, that we really should have no problem in pointing out the obvious to people anymore. I mean, people who may have once referred to all of this as a conspiracy theory are now seeing the obvious right in front of their faces, that it is not a conspiracy theory at all, and that there has been a concerted effort which has been made behind the scenes for a very long time in order to bring the current global control mechanism into being. And it's a control mechanism which is growing exponentially all the time. This is what the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement is about. I spoke about that a show or two back. This is what the EU is about. This is what all of these regions are all about. It's about centralizing control of the entire planet. And it's all coming into being now, and it's all blatantly obvious to anybody who chooses to look. The problem is that most people, even if they see it, they just don't view it as being of any importance. They don't see how a trade partnership between the Pacific region can in any way affect their lives on a personal level. And they think this because they're simply not paying attention. But again, it's very difficult to judge them because they are trained to think this way. People are trained to not pay attention to what is important. They're trained to give their attention to things which are not important. That's the thing about this society. It's very, very careful to control what people give their attention to and what people focus on. That's one of the most insidious parts about it. And this, of course, is the result of the economic and social pathogens that most people adhere to. You find that most people's lives revolve around economic and social models or an economic and social reality. And that's what most people do with their time. And that's how most people judge themselves and judge their own self-worth, by their own economic value and by their own social status, both of which are fictional and both of which are a result of this society and a result of this civilization. And that's really one of the most insidious things this civilization has done, has been to infect people's minds with these pathogens, because these two pathogens are very, very effective at disconnecting people from any connection that they may have to the earth that we live upon. And that's one of the biggest problems that we face. You know, really, folks, when you look at this whole system, you see how far we are from reality, how far we've been disconnected from what we should be. And the path back to what we should be almost becomes unmeasurable. It really does. We have strayed so far from reality that when you really begin to grasp the depths of our error, then it really does become quite mind-boggling, because we do have such a very long way to get back. And just understanding this, understanding the depths that we have strayed from our path, when you really begin to see this, you begin to see that there is no easy fix. And that's what has been wrong with a lot of the alternate research movement. That's what's been wrong with a lot of the free man movement, is that people have been looking for an easy fix. People have been looking for a piece of paper which is going to free them, when really the steps that have been taken to build the prison around us have taken hundreds and hundreds of years, if not thousands of years. What we've got here is the result of a collective mindset which has been grown over centuries. So we've got a lot of deprogramming to do. Because even a lot of the stuff that's in the collective mindset, it's all in our DNA as well. It's all in the collective memory of the water that's in your body, because water has memory. The whole concept of subservience is ingrained into people's memory, because we've had centuries upon centuries of subservience, centuries of war, centuries of rulership, centuries of people imposing their will upon other people. And we've had years of acceptance of this authority. So we've got a lot of deprogramming to do, a lot of decoding to do. So there is no easy fix. And there is no piece of paper, there is nothing that exists within the fiction that you are ever going to be able to use to free yourself from the fiction. And the key word there is fiction. Why would you be looking for remedy to fiction within fiction, when the very obvious remedy is knowing that it's fiction? And that's really the problem, isn't it? Is the fact that people don't see the fictional world that exists. They don't see the fictional world that has been pulled over their eyes to hide the real world from them. And that's what it is. And it's important that people do see the fiction, because the fiction is growing and reality is slipping into fiction very fast. It certainly is here in Australia. And if they are able to continue pushing the transhumanist agenda the way they have been, then it is only going to slip further into fiction the more we continue along this path. And we have an opportunity to change it all, folks. That's what this time in history is. But it requires your participation. I've done everything I can on these shows to attempt to help people see the reality of this situation. But again, all I can do is offer you my perspective. That's all I have to give you. That's all anybody has to give you. But I hope it helps, ladies and gentlemen. I really hope that it has helped empower people. I hope that when people see the control grid that exists, they don't move into fear. They don't stand as a rebel against the system. They realize that they have to walk the fine line between reality and the matrix in order to wake other people up. You can't just stand alone and decide to step outside of it, because if you do, your friends will view you as crazy, your parents and your peers will view you as crazy, and things just won't work that way. You've got to walk the fine line, half in the fiction and half in reality, in order to wake people up to the fiction, because there's no good trying to rise for the masses, folks. We've got to rise with the masses. And that's what this time in history is. It's a time that we can all do this, and a time that we can all lead by example in all that we do. But that is it for me, folks. I think we've reached the end of the show here. Thank you very much to all the kind letters and kind emails that you send me. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to thecrowhouse.com. I know it's very difficult to do at the moment. I'm only able to accept direct deposits or checks or Bitcoin donations, because PayPal keeps shutting me out. They've been doing it for years. But all the details of how to contribute are there on the website, should anyone wish to do so. And thank you to all those who do, because it is indeed the only thing that keeps this show on the air, and it is very much needed, and indeed it is the only thing that keeps me going. But that is it for me now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm completely out of time. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. And I'll also look forward to speaking to all of those people who are coming to the Freedom Summits that are happening in Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane through the end of February and the beginning of March. And you'll find the details to these events on my website, thecrowhouse.com, as well. But that is it for me, ladies and gentlemen. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.